I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
What happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare?
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from
evil. A person in Texas is being treated for the highly contagious bird flu. That's according to the Texas Department of State Health Services. It's the first human case of the disease in the state and the second in the U.S.
But do you really believe that when people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is this an equal to Biden?
I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy.
An El Paso magistrate judge ordered the release of people accused of assaulting National Guard troops during a so-called border riot.
Now, the judge, Humberto Acosta, said the El Paso District Attorney's Office was not ready for the detention hearings of each person. The DA charged hundreds of people trying to cross the border with riot participation.
Florida Supreme Court cleared the way for a new 6-week abortion ban to take effect, but the court also put the issue on the ballot in November, letting voters decide if abortion rights should be enshrined in that state's constitution.
So we've just learned that the former president has posted that $175 million bond in the New York civil fraud case, which is
very good news for Donald Trump to do this. If he had not been able to post this bond, that meant that the state of New York could start seizing his property.
Nearly a month ago, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Trump is set to meet with state party leaders and then deliver a speech on what his campaign calls, quote, Biden's border bloodbath. Remember that outrage about bloodbath a few weeks ago? Yeah, Trump is now totally leaning into that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily, live from Washington, D.C. Today is April 2nd, 2024, Anno Domini. President Trump expected to speak in about 30 minutes there from Grand Rapids, Michigan. We have Steve Gruber from Real America's Voice on the ground. We'll be bringing you to him momentarily as soon as we are able to get him up. But as we're walking through this, I want people to understand what's happening and what the stakes are in the 2024 election. We have the abortion army versus the Biden border bloodbath. What do I mean about this? It's very clear. Each side has a central animating issue. The central animating issue for Republicans, we know this, for President Trump, is the border. It is the death, the bloodbath, the carnage that is being wreaked upon the American citizenry by illegal aliens in state after state after state. Think about it. Why is President Trump going all the way up to Michigan on our northern border to discuss illegal aliens from the southern border? By the way, let's call them for what they are. They're invaders. But more importantly, the Democrats are firing back by putting up abortion measures on state after state after state, particularly in swing states. They're also looking to put Florida in play by putting abortion legalization and a 6-week abortion ban on the ballot. They are going to do this to mobilize what we've been calling out for over a year on this program, the abortion army. You're going to see this through TikTok, through influencers, through so many more. I'm told that we do now have Steve Gruber on the ground there in Grand Rapids. Steve, can you hear me?
Jack, I can. How are you?
Walk me through what you're seeing at the event and what you're hearing down there.
Well, I can tell you this, Jack. The border has become the number one issue in America, abortion notwithstanding. It is the number one issue, and it came into full relief here 3 weeks ago when Laken Riley was murdered in the middle of the day, in the middle of the campus of the University of Georgia, in the middle of an afternoon on a Thursday. And then it came to Grand Rapids. Ruby Garcia, Her body dumped alongside US 131 in the city of Grand Rapids. Nice city, by the way. Her body dumped. Later, it's revealed that she died at the hands of an illegal alien that was thrown out of this country September the 29th, 2020, during the Trump administration. He came back in at some point. We're not clear when, because he had no encounter with any border agents, meaning he is, by definition, a gotaway. And these are the sorts of events that really localize and mobilize voters and concerned people. And that's why Donald Trump is here. The border has become number one for a variety of reasons. We see cases like Laken Riley and Ruby Garcia. We also know that 300 to 400 Americans will die today because of fentanyl. Fentanyl that originates in China, as you know, Jack. It's combined in Mexico and then run over the border by a variety of people. You've got that going on. And you've got the crime coming in general. That's being detailed in so many places, whether it's a violent crime like a murder, a drunk driving accident. We've seen these organized crews from Columbia and other places that are going into high-end, high-rent districts in southeast Michigan, in Denver, in other places around the country, breaking in because they're organized. They come in, they know exactly how to stabilize and stop a security system and then take lots of money. They've got it.
All right, President Trump expected to speak there very soon. We will come back live to Grand Rapids to take those remarks. Thank you, Steve Gruber. We've got Kenny Cody joining us next to walk through the 2024 election. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
Far, but I got a hankering, a yearning deep inside. For this book called Unhumans, I just can't hide.
Jack Pesovic back live, Human Events Daily. Folks, the world is quickly descending into chaos, and the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Now, whether that's another pandemic or something closer to home, preparedness is no longer an option, it's a necessity. That's where the wellness company comes in. From something innocent and natural like a tick bite to COVID to the next bioweapon manufactured in a lab, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is what you need to be prepared. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, emergency antibiotics, a Z-Pack, and more, as well as a guidebook to aid in the life-saving use of these medications. The Wellness Company and their doctors, including Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Reich, Dr. Drew Pinsky, Dr. Robert Sieg, so many more, are medical professionals that you can trust. Rest assured knowing that you're ready for whatever the globalists throw at us next. To order, just go to twc.health/poso. That is twc.health/poso. And enter promo code POSO for 10% off. The Wellness Company and their licensed doctors are medical professionals you can trust, and their medical emergency kits are the gold standard to keeping you safe. Again, that's twc.health/poso. Promo code POSO for 10% off. See the site for details. A prescription may be required. Love mine. You guys are going to love yours too. Look, folks, understand what is going on. I know that for pro-lifers out there, they'll say, well, hold on. We need to focus on the border and abortion, and we can walk and chew gum at the same time. Let me explain. Here's how it's going to happen. Democrats are going to target single-issue voters on abortion, particularly the demographic of single white women, and they're going to use the abortion argument, not to say they're pro-abortion, they're going to say it's women's rights, they're going to say it's reproductive rights, they're going to say it's healthcare, abortion is healthcare, and they will use this to mobilize voter blocks in states that would otherwise be apathetic to coming out and voting for Biden, and they're going to hope that that issue brings people over to who otherwise would be a lackluster candidate. Kenny Cody, a columnist at humanevents.com, joins us now. Kenny, walk me through this dynamic, and do you agree with this thesis that I'm laying out here, this idea that for Republicans, it is a four-quadrant election focused on the border, but Democrats are going to try to turn out this abortion army as a way to respond?
Well, we saw it in 2022 when they were making these ads that, you know, these congressional candidates, these Senate candidates that Trump had endorsed, that even Mitch McConnell had endorsed, were these pro, you know, anti-women's reproductive rights, anti-women's rights in general, because we're giving a choice to the states to decide their own abortion laws. They're going to try to paint us as being these right-wing radicals when that's not what we're really doing at all. And that's one issue that is so minute when it comes to, like, issue polling, right? I mean, you've seen in the presidential primary elections, abortion ranks fifth, sixth sometimes when it comes to the issues that people most care about, which is why Democrats are going to try to prioritize it and not necessarily go into the real tenets of what abortion really is. They don't want to go into the trimester. They don't want to go into how, like, Ralph Northam from Virginia advocated for infanticide. They don't want to get into any of that nonsense or any of those details because they know it'll hurt them. But what they will try to do is paint us as being anti-women, paint us as being anti-women's rights when we're the ones standing up for things such as girls participating in men's sports being outlawed. We're saying that they shouldn't be, you know, required to register in the military while Democrats bring those bills to Congress. We have to counteract what we're doing for women in Congress, what we're doing to protect actual women's rights, not protecting infants' rights where we're advocating the pro-life policy. But we have to actually talk about what we are doing for women in the economy, how Lincoln Riley, you know, in Georgia was killed by an illegal immigrant. We're saving young women's lives by being more stringent and strict on the border like Donald Trump wants to do and stopping the influx of the highest death rate of 18 to 29-year-olds being fentanyl that is killing young women and young men by coming over the border. We have to concentrate on policies like that, advocate policies like that, and not let the Democrats make abortion the number one issue because it isn't to independents. It isn't to Republicans. Democrats, maybe, but that's not who matters in these elections. It's about turnout for Republicans and turnout of independents. And if we can concentrate on how abortion isn't an issue that is polling high and still keep the economy, the border, and even some of the cultural issues at the top of the issue polling list, we're going to be able to win in 2020.
And as much as I hate to say it, it's become now this narrative that illegal alien invasion is not just an invasion of our border, it's not just fentanyl, but that these invaders are actually dangerous to women. This is why President Trump went and spoke out on Lincoln Riley. This is why he's now in Grand Rapids, and he met obviously with Lincoln Riley's family. It's why he's now up there in Grand Rapids to talk about this situation with Ruby Garcia. Do you view, Kenny, as this as a potential pickup or a potential situation where all the president has to do is point out that these illegal invaders are not just targeting our country and putting strain on our services and our infrastructure, they're actually killing women?
Yes, I do think that needs to be a central issue. I mean, the two of the biggest headlines have been the situation in Michigan and Lincoln Riley. That's two of the biggest headlines there is in America when it comes to the illegal immigrants crossing over the border and killing Americans. I mean, is murder not the one, if not the worst crime in the United States? It is the absolute worst crime. And two illegal immigrants have come over the border and killed two women that has made headlines and that the Democrats have ignored. Lincoln Riley's family quite literally said, and those who are around Lincoln Riley literally said that Joe Biden and his administration's policies are the reason that those families are suffering right now. They're the reason they've been dealing with tragedies is because an illegal immigrant was allowed to come over the border and kill Americans. All Donald Trump has to do, and all he will do, and he has been showing that so far by his support for these families, is literally give them a voice, give them a platform. And when they have gotten that platform, they have told him, the Republican voters, the Democrat voters, and the independent voters, and the media, that the reason this has happened has been because of Joe Biden's administration's policies when it comes to the border. You've heard ICE officials talk about it. You've heard these victims' families talk about it. And Donald Trump is the one that is giving these families a voice in policy that's actually going to matter going into the next 4 years with immigration policy. He is the only presidential candidate with RFK, with Biden, or any other third-party presidential candidate that is talking about the needs to secure our border, to make sure that we enforce ICE with the ability to have secure borders, a secure border with security on the border, with a wall, with more fencing, with more protection on the border, and more checks to ensure that criminals aren't coming over the border to kill more American women. And we have to ensure that that doesn't happen. Trump is doing the right thing by giving these families a voice, giving them a platform, and ensuring they're going to be able to speak out on this administration's policy and how they've handled these killings so far.
And Kenny, you're not going to hear this from the administration. You're going to hear this from President Trump. Say their names: Ruby Garcia, Lincoln Riley. This is a way that President Trump can go to, and people have said that he needs to do better with female voters. Well, this is a way for him to go to the moms of America and to go to the daughters, to go to the single women and say, the killing will stop and I can keep you safe.
Exactly. I mean, in the same way that he's taken that approach to foreign policy when it comes to stopping wars, he needs to ensure that he is the only president that's going to stop illegal immigrants killing women. When you have Rudy Garcia and Lincoln Riley's families both getting talked to by President Trump, having consultation with President Trump and telling the American public what they need to hear and that they need to say their names. We don't need to ignore them when it comes to the State of the Union. They don't need to ignore them when they go to these press conferences, when Carmine's going out there, or whatever her name is, going out there as the press secretary and not acknowledging or saying that you know, their policies are the ones that have failed these families. Joe Biden's administration has failed American families. It has failed young women in protecting them from, you know, Lincoln Riley was a college student. She didn't deserve what happened to her. She wasn't going out of her way to do anything. She was killed by an illegal immigrant solely because that illegal immigrant was illegally over the border, illegally staying in the United States, and was a criminal. And ICE, her family, and others, those who actually are impacted by these murders and by these killings, all of them have stated that Joe Biden's administration's policies are the ones that are responsible. They have blood on their hands, and they are responsible for these murders. And all Donald Trump has to do, and all he is doing currently, is giving a voice to these families, saying both Rudy Garcia and Lincoln Riley's names, and giving them a voice to the American public. And all Donald Trump has to say to white women voters, just like he did in 2016, I am going to protect you. My administration is going to protect you because Joe Biden has created a culture of death for women in the United States.
And when you read through these horrific stories like Ruby Garcia, which I haven't said on the show yet, so I'll say that here. Ruby Garcia of Grand Rapids found dead along a highway, multiple gunshot wounds to her head on March 22nd, just 2 weeks ago. Brandon Ortiz Vite later confessed to killing her, shooting her in her car. He turned himself into police with her blood, on his clothing. He said that he shot Ruby after they had an argument. He subsequently moved her body out of the car and drove away. He left her dead body right there on the side of the highway in Grand Rapids. This was an illegal alien, an illegal who had received approval under DACA, by the way, of all the programs. This was a dreamer. He was then arrested. He was deemed inadmissible under the Immigration and Nationality Act. By the way, that was in 2020 under Trump. He was ordered removed under Trump. He was deported under Trump, September 29th, 2020. Then he comes back into the United States. He came back into the United States and killed one of our citizens. And it's as simple as that, folks. Do you want the kind of president that is allowing people to come back into our country and kill our citizens even after they've been deported? This is an invasion. I don't know what else you can call that. Kenny Cody is our guest. President Trump is supposed to be speaking in about 10, 15 minutes. We'll go to him live when he comes in. Human Events Daily continues.
Tales of the communist history. I wanna know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. Pre-ordering live humans. Can't wait to get my hands on Santa Mystery. The hidden tales of the communist history. I wanna know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live here, Human Events Daily. You know, we're talking with Kenny Cody, who is a columnist at humanevents.com. And one of the things that I think about as we wait for President Trump to take the stage triumphantly, but also with a somber note there in Grand Rapids to give a very important address on Joe Biden's border bloodbath, is that, Kenny, Republicans don't seem very good at messaging and communicating when it comes to the border. Democrats, of course, will paint all of us as demons, and we're stealing the rights of women, and we're taking away health care, and we're targeting little girls, and they'll find these horrific stories of an 11-year-old who's raped and throw it in the face of Republicans and conservatives and pro-lifers. But when it comes to the border, you just don't really seem that level of moral fervor from Republicans. Why is that, Kenny?
Well, I think it's this false pretense of like we're having to appeal to Hispanics and we're having to appeal to independents. Look, these people care about death in America too. Like they care about women getting killed. I mean, if you poll Cubans, you poll Venezuelans, they hate illegal immigrants coming over the border when they don't go through the right process as they did in the first place when they're escaping communist countries to come here because they went through the right process. They want to hear about how when these illegal immigrants, why they're coming over the border is to escape crime in their own country so they can commit it in the United States. So why can't we as Republicans say, hey, we can have a referendum on saying we need to stop illegal immigration, we need to have more verbal checks, we need to ensure that the border is protected, that people are not just crossing over the border to carry drugs, to carry murder, to carry killings, and allow people over the border that should not be there. And that's, you know, part of that reluctance is why we end up with programs like DACA, we end up with amnesty, we end up with laxed border and immigration policy because Republicans are too frail to tackle on the issue. But Democrats aren't. Democrats aren't afraid to attack us on abortion, to paint us as being anti-reproductive rights, paint us as being anti-woman. So why can't we paint them as being pro-murder, being pro-killing, being pro-crime? That we need to paint them the exact way that they paint us as being anti-women, anti-reproductive rights, paint them as being pro-illegal immigrants killing these women, because that's exactly what they are when they're advocating for policies like an open border, like DACA, like amnesty, allowing people to come back over the border. Because, you know, when you see, like you tell me about Trump, how this guy that killed Rudy Garcia in Michigan, he was deported under Trump and Republican policies worked. Then Biden's policy failed and allowed this murder to happen. Minus Biden's immigration policy, minus Democrats' immigration policy, he would not have been able to come over the border and kill this young woman named Ruby Garcia in Michigan. Now that that has happened, we can paint them as their policies, their approaches, and their appeal as being pro-death. We are in a culture of death, because of Democrats' immigration policy. It is that simple. It is so simple to paint us as anti-woman and anti-reproductive rights and pro-rape and all these other things about with immigration or not, abortion exceptions and things like that. We can absolutely paint them as being pro-death and pro-murder when it comes to immigration policy because the culture of death that Joe Biden has created has led to the murders of Rudy Garcia and Lincoln Riley.
And it's so strange to me that you have Republicans that are scared of winning. They're scared of being called racist. They're scared of being labeled. They're going to, oh no, the media might not be nice to us. NPR might say something mean about me. We better not say anything mean about them. We should just call them newcomers. We should just be very friendly. And that's what's going to win. Meanwhile, the left are ruthless. The left are absolutely ruthless. They will have groups like Jane's Revenge go out and firebomb churches and pro-life pregnancy centers. And you'll hear no one on the left call for them to be arrested or rounded up or anything like this. Meanwhile, they'll then go and have the Department of Justice arrest pro-lifers, arrest nuns, arrest people for praying in front of an abortion clinic. And they'll say, oh, we're protecting women's rights. Kenny, do you think that Republicans need to learn a little lesson about the word reciprocity?
Yes, and they need to learn their own gumption. Have some guts about you. Go after the Democrats in the same way that they go after Republicans. Literally, the DOJ has been weaponized by a side of the apolitical aisle that the issue is. They go after pro-lifers. They go after January 6ers. They go after President Trump himself with political accusation of federal and state departments. Why can't we for once say, do you know who's evil? The Democrats that are creating a culture of death for women in the United States. They are promoting policies that have led to deaths of two young women with their entire futures ahead of them. Their families have said that. Republicans have said it. Donald Trump has said it. And anybody who matters on ICE themselves, the ICE union, has said it. So how much more do we need to be able to paint them as to what they are? They are pro-anti-immigrant. They are pro-illegal immigration. They are pro border crime. They are pro-immigrants coming over and killing young women and not doing anything about it or anything to stop it besides the gaslighting that Joe Biden tried to have and putting the button up and then pronouncing her name wrong. That is as much as they're going to do for you. As much as they're going to do for your Republicans, he's going to hold a button up of the girl's name and say her name wrong and not care or apologize for saying her name wrong. That is the most the Democrats and Joe Biden are going to do for you. Donald Trump's actually giving a voice to these families. Donald Trump's actually giving a voice to the people who are advocating against illegal immigration crime. And that's what we need to do. We need to paint them as the pro-death culture and the pro-death political party that they are, in the same way that they paint us as anti-women's rights and anti-reproductive rights. We need to have some gumption about us. We need to have some response to us. And we need to have the gall to say, you want to say that about us? We're going to tell the truth about you. And that's exactly what the Republicans need to do heading into 2024, create the platform and create a voice to paint the Democrats the same way the Democrats paint the Republicans on abortion.
And think about this, right? You people will say like, oh, well, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to, you know, be deceptive, or I don't want to be mean, or, oh, I want to be equal. I said, whoa. This is what they stand for. This is exactly what they have stood for all the way back since, I mean, what it's been literally almost a decade. It's been almost a decade since President Trump launched his campaign and called for the closing of the border. And specifically, this is something that actually, Kenny, I know you remember this, but a lot of people miss it, that this was the very singular issue that President Trump launched his political career on and started the MAGA movement all the way back there, all the way back Fifth Avenue, Trump Tower. He specifically spoke about illegal invaders killing and raping women and daughters and committing sexual violence against them. Then he goes on CNN. Don Lemon attacks him over this. Trump throws stats and figures back in his face from left-wing sources. This all happened almost a decade ago. So he spent a decade of his life now championing this issue that Republicans, and it boggles my mind, things like Sound of Freedom that are also about this, by the way, specifically focusing on minors, but obviously focused on sex crimes, focused on sexual trafficking in that instance. These are all intrinsically related. Kenny, why is it that the Republican Party can't seem to find enough backbone to at least come out publicly and start calling a spade a spade?
Well, it's the same reason that we fail in so many metrics when trying to appeal to diversity, trying to appeal to say, hey, we're the nice guys. You know, the Democrats are the ones that are trying to paint you up. We're the nice guys. We're the moderates that are going to appeal to the independents. That's never going to happen for us because the Democrats have painted us as anti-women, anti-immigrant, anti-black, anti-any minority for so long. They've won that battle. Like, they have won the battle of painting us the way they want to paint us because we have stood by and let it happen. Now it's time to acknowledge real-time issues, real-life issues, and harken back to the originality of why MAGA started in the first place, why the America First populist nationalist movement started back in 2015. When you come over the border, you come over the Mexican border, they're bringing rapists, they're bringing murderers. Okay, some are super good people. Like that, I assume some are. Most are not, because we are seeing what's happening here in this country. We are seeing the murders. Those are the ones that's making the headlines. We may not see what the good people are doing, but we are still dealing with the same problems that Donald Trump acknowledged in 2015. 2015, 9 years ago, nearly a decade ago, like you said, Jack, and Republicans still refuse to acknowledge this is the central issue that has led to us winning. The only reason that Donald Trump won in 2016 was because he made his campaign one of these central issues. Now, he embraced economic nationalism. He embraced so many other issues that made him the president in 2016. But the original issue, as you stated, in 2015 was illegal immigration causing demise for the American public. And that needs to be prioritized again. Republicans need to prioritize being pro strong border. We need to be anti illegal immigration unabashedly. No DACA, no amnesty, no excuses. We need to be anti illegal immigration, pro legal in some aspects. And I still think there are some laws that are too laxed on legal immigration, too. But at the bare minimum, we need to adopt the philosophy that we need to be anti illegal immigration, because illegal immigration is leading to deaths in the United States, is leading to fentanyl for drug overdoses being the number one cause of death in the United States for 18 to 28 year olds. And we need to concentrate that it is anti-woman, because young women are getting raped and killed in the United States because of the lax policies of the Joe Biden and Barack Obama administration. We need to prioritize a strong border and harken back to Donald Trump's original message in 2015 that we have to secure our border.
And by the way, we're going to have to throw the D word out there. It's called deportations, folks. Deportations. And I know there's going to be a lot of Republicans who don't have the stomach for this, who aren't going to be willing to go along with what has to be done, because we have millions, even just since Biden took office, millions of invaders that have flooded into our system. And President Trump just put up a massive graphic about this. He's just now arriving in Grand Rapids. They are going to have to be deported. And people are going to wail and gnash their teeth over this. But just like Bukele showed us in El Salvador, you will have a safer country. Kenny Cody, where can people go to follow you and get all the updates?
Go to my Twitter at Kenny Cody TN on Truth Social and on X. Go to my Muckrack to find all of my article archives, Muckrack Kenny Cody. Appreciate you, Jack. Thank you for letting me on, brother. And I always appreciate telling me your comments.
God bless, Kenny. Keep up the great work. Stay tuned. President Trump will be coming live momentarily. All right, Jack, so we're back here, Human Events Daily. We are in Washington, D.C. President Trump expected to speak momentarily, Grand Rapids. But until then, we have Julie Kelly with us, because she's been breaking down all of this news that's spiraling out about Judge Juan Merchan, of this case that President Trump is under. Now, they just slapped a huge gag order on President Trump, but no one can slap a gag order on Julie Kelly. Julie, explain to us what's going on, because to my view, it looks like every single person in Judge Merchan's family is getting paid millions of dollars by the Democrats.
I mean, Jack, as we were talking on the break, and you and I have been discussing this for years, I've been covering the judges in Washington, D.C., the prosecutors there, Jack Smith, and all of the conflicts. But I'll tell you, this even surprised me. And I thought, you know, I've grown enough of a thick skin that nothing would shock me. But Lauren Merchant, the daughter of Judge Juan Merchant, who is now overseeing Alvin Bragg's prosecution, the trial that starts April 15th, the alleged hush money trial against Donald Trump, her ties, her lucrative business arrangements, consulting arrangements with key Democrats from Kamala Harris to Joe Biden's campaign, and of course, Adam Schiff, which is what I talk about in my latest Substack article. This is beyond the pale. We are talking about, she's a partner and president of Authentic Campaigns, this very progressive left-wing Democratic consulting, digital media consulting firm. And she's raked in tens of millions of dollars from these Democrats. So how is this not a conflict? Why are we not supposed to be talking about it? And now Judge Merchant is covering up his daughter's key involvement with these top Democrats, Democrats who've been targeting Donald Trump, his family, associates, and now voters for the better part of a decade. Now Judge Merchant is silencing Donald Trump, preventing him from posting or saying anything about his daughter's egregious conflicts of interest, which of course also should disqualify Judge Merchant right there from coming within a mile of this case. But he has refused to recuse himself and now is digging in his heels to cover up his daughter's lucrative business contracts with top Democrats, including Adam Schiff.
And so this is the connection that really blew my mind. And it's so brazen. It's so brazen, number one, that they would do this, but they're only this brazen because the Republicans are so bad at doing any kind of reciprocity, of fighting back in any way. They do this out in the public. All the records are out there, but it takes the Julie Kellys of the world and so many others to dig this up. And I'm just reading from Declassified, your latest Substack. Laura Mershon's firm was paid $4 million by Adam Schiff at the same time he was conspiring with Michael Cohen to take down Donald Trump. Cohen, of course, will be a witness in Mershon's courtroom next month. This is just amazing to me. It's so amazing. This, by the way, it ties to Ukraine. It ties to Zelensky, the phone call. I mean, it's like you pull one little thread and suddenly the entire web reveals itself. And I mean, the Republicans actually control the House? Like, did I miss something? Do they have investigators? Do they have anyone who's doing anything up there? I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, Jack, as I was going through the FEC files, and this is Adam Schiff's, as you noted, his congressional campaign committee from 2019 and 2020. I mean, I was blown away at how many times, how many payments went to authentic campaigns. He gave out disbursements worth $10.7 million for that cycle, 2 years. Almost 40% of that went to Lauren Mershon and her firm that she's the president and partner of, Authentic Campaigns. So averaging six figures a month for this relatively new firm, by the way. Lauren Mershon is only 34 years old. This firm was started in 2019. Then all of a sudden, she's picking up these huge clients like Adam Schiff, and they're paying her six figures a month, including paying her $600,000 in January of 2020, when he is delivering articles of impeachment on Donald Trump to the U.S. Senate. And as you just noted, what I put in my piece, the biggest conflict are her ties to Schiff and Michael Cohen, who will be a key prosecution witness in Alvin Bragg's case. And
Julie, real quick. Remind everybody why Michael Cohen has to be the key witness, because, of course, Stormy Daniels' lawyer is somewhat unavailable, isn't he? The original lawyer.
Yes, the original lawyer, I believe, is still behind bars. And, of
Michael
course, Stormy
Avenatti,
Daniels.
Who was supposed to be the key witness in the case. it's insane.
As you know, I mean, Michael Cohen also went to jail. He is a known perjurer of tax cheat. He has no credibility, but that is what Adam Schiff was trying to do in 2019 and 2020, was to refurbish Michael Cohen's reputation, help turn him against Donald Trump, and then present him as he called a credible witness in both the Russia collusion hoax and bringing up the Stormy Daniels matter. So what exactly was Lauren Mershon doing at the same time that Adam Schiff was doing all of this? Was she involved in digital media campaigns that used Michael Cohen or addressed Michael Cohen or in any capacity? Was she advising Adam Schiff on how to leverage Michael Cohen's testimony to raise money or to raise Adam Schiff's profile? This is a clear, direct conflict with what the judges called integrity of the judicial proceedings. But instead of stepping down like Juan Mershon should do, and he refused to do that in August of 2023, the Trump team filed this motion to recuse. They listed all the conflicts that he has. They also listed his targeting and pressuring Alan Weisselberg to also accept a plea deal. Sent that 75-year-old man to Rikers Island for 5 months, by the way. This is a vicious, vicious, conflicted, corrupt man who is taking the reins now of a case that should never have gone to trial. He's going to do what he can now to get a conviction in this case, which should be easy given his courtroom and the potential jurors, and now cover up with this extended gag order, expansive gag order, cover up his daughter's lucrative business deals with top Democrats and exposing his own conflict of interest that should result in his disqualification from the case.
It should result. Of course, we know what the answer will likely be. And I keep saying this because the cases against President Trump, and by the way, if anyone thinks that the judges haven't been carefully selected for each one of these cases as much as possible, I mean, it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous for me to think isn't a plan.
He also has the Steve Bannon trial that's supposed to start in a few months. So he has at least five Trump. He has Trump Organization, at least two. He's got this case. He's going to deal with the Bannon prosecution, alleged fraud trial that's supposed to start in a few months. We're just supposed to believe, Jack, that this is randomly selected judge. Oh, and his daughter, by the way, is helping. I think the New York Post had this piece a few days ago. I linked it in my article about how much money these individuals, Lauren Merchant's clients, have raked in campaign donations since her father got this case last year. You know, the depths of the corruption, the incestuousness that I've reported with other judges and prosecutors. But I'll tell you, this really takes the cake. Even I was blown away going through those FEC records and how much money Adam Schiff paid her early on, the same time he was trying to impeach Donald Trump and elevate Michael Cohen, a government witness, in this very case.
It would only be so brazen if it weren't so unsurprising, because this is what the left has done. They've stacked the bench. They've stacked the institutions. They specifically targeted the legal institutions of America. Now, President Trump did have some success in appointing judges, but a lot of the rights judges will say, okay, well, we want to go back to, you know, just sort of following the way things were. Whereas the left judges will say, we're going to let the illegal aliens who attacked the National Guard out of jail. We are not going to disbar people like Juan Merchan. We're going to let our daughters run left wing, you know, consulting firms while we're prosecuting the former president of the United States. So you have this huge disparity up there. We're speaking with Julie Kelly of The Dossier on Substack. She's also a writer for Real Clear Investigations. President Trump expected to speak soon. Grand Rapids, be right back. I want to know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. But I got a hankering, a yearning deep inside, for this book called Unhumans I just can't hide. All right, Jack Posobiec here, Human Events Daily. We go now live to President Trump, Grand Rapids, for the Biden border bloodbath address. Well, please don't ask me what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, gonna feel fine when I'm near a girl. See photographs of the illegal aliens, video of the sheriff, video of some of the things that these illegal aliens have done. And there you go. There's the suspect. And there's the image of Ruby Garcia. There's a shot, of course, of the highway, Our Lady of Guadalupe, memorials placed at her home. Stop Biden's border bloodbath. These are some of the most powerful images that we've seen coming out of the Trump campaign. There's that graphic, by the way.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the next president of the United States, President Donald J. Trump.
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. The weather was a little rough, but there was no way I was going to miss it. And I see we have a lot of media here. That's nice. Always nice. They're our deep friends, right? But we're getting better over the years, much better. But I do want to say hello to everybody. This is a special place to me, and we're going to have a big victory. The polls are looking tremendous in Michigan and Wisconsin. And we're going to do something, I think, that's very very special. I think it's going to be a very special election. I've been saying November 5th of this year is going to be the most important day in the history of our country. I believe that. So just remember that. We're here this afternoon in Grand Rapids, Michigan, 1,283 miles from the southern border. You've been hearing a lot about the southern border over the last couple of years. We put up a chart which is border related, and you see the lowest point in history was just before I left, just as I was leaving. That was the lowest point. You see the arrows pointing? And I think that chart spells out better than anything I can say today. In fact, I don't have to say anything. I can just leave. Just take a look at that. That is the best. And then it looks like a rocket ship went off. When you look at the other numbers, it's a shame. It's a sad shame. Under crooked Joe Biden, every state is now a border state. Every town is now a border town because Joe Biden has brought the carnage and chaos and killing from all over the world and dumped it straight into our backyards. People are coming in from prisons and mental institutions. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. Under the Trump administration, we had a tough policy of getting the bad people out. We wanted to get them out. We took them out by the thousands, and we took, as an example, the MS-13 gangs out. The countries didn't want to let them back in, and I said, well, then we're not giving you any money. We give them so much money, in this case, $793 million. I said, that's okay. We're not going to give you any money. And they said, well, we'd be glad to have MS-13 coming back into our country. Be an honor. And they took them back, but they wouldn't take them back under Obama. Under the Obama administration with Biden, they wouldn't take them back. And I was told that they won't take them back. And I said, really, what do we give them? And it was close to $800 million. I said, tell them we're not giving it to them anymore. And they immediately said, let's take them back. That negotiation, sheriffs, lasted about 3 minutes, and we succeeded. That was an easy one. Now under Biden, the bad ones are coming in at a level that nobody ever thought was even possible. Nobody thought this was possible. In Venezuela, the crime is down 67% from what it was a year and a half ago because they're taking all of their gangs and all of their criminals and they're depositing them into the United States of America. Venezuela, think of it, their crime. Wouldn't we love to have a statistic where crime is down 67%? Ours is only going in one direction, and it's going to be very bad now because we have a new form of crime. It's called migrant crime. They're having fistfights with our police officers right in the middle of streets. They're sending prisoners, murderers, drug dealers, mental patients, and terrorists, the worst they have in every country, all over the world. This isn't just in South America. They're coming from the Congo, from Yemen, from Somalia, from Syria. They come from all over the world, China. Many of them are military age, which is a very strange. You don't see very many women coming in, and you see a lot of them coming in. They're about 19 to 25, 26 years old, and especially from China. We have 29,000 over the last few months, 29,000 from China, and they all seem to be perfectly fit for military service, ready for military service. It's crazy. This is country changing, it's country threatening, and it's country wrecking. They have wrecked our country. But I stand before you today to declare that Joe Biden's border bloodbath, and that's what it is, it's a bloodbath. They tried to use that term incorrectly on me 2 weeks ago. You know, it's all about misinformation. That's all they do is cheat in elections and disinformation, misinformation, fairly closely related, those two words. But they basically mean that it's all talk. But it's a border bloodbath, and it's destroying our country. It's a very bad thing happening. It's going to end on the day that I take office, which will be January 20th. It'll end. And thank you. I want to thank members of Congress. A lot of great congressmen are here, warriors, really. They've fought with me for a long time. John James, John Molinar, and Jack Bergman, they're great friends of mine, and they love your state. They love your state. I want to really thank and congratulate, because this guy has gone like a rocket ship. I've never seen it. Well, I have a couple of times. We've got a lot of people elected. Those endorsements are pretty good. But, you know, you still have to endorse the right person. Otherwise, it doesn't work. And your next U.S. Senator, Mike Rogers, who's going to be fantastic, wherever Mike is. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. He was a great congressman. He was a tough guy, too. He had one little sabbatical. He went to CNN for a little while, and it's okay, you know. They say you gotta be. But other than that, he's been great. Well, that's good, because now you'll get a few of the more moderate people who are being nice. But he's a very respected person. He's the one we wanted. He's the one that decided to do it. And he's going to be a fantastic, I think he's going to be a fantastic U.S. Senator, always respected at the highest level. And he was always fair to us, too. When he was on, when he did his television thing, he was always fair, strong, fair. I also want to thank Michigan Senate Republican leader Eric Nesbitt. Where is Eric? I think you're around here someplace, Eric. Good. Great job you're doing, Eric. Michigan House Republican leader Matt Hall. Matt. Good. They stand right in the middle, those guys. Former Detroit Police Chief James Craig. Good guy, too. Good guy. Good guy. Knows his way around and has done a great job. Thank you very much. We have great support. I think he just supported Mike, actually, didn't he? Did I hear that? That's a big that's a big endorsement. That's a great endorsement. Thank you, James. Second best. Yeah. Well, thank you. Actually, Mike went up 61 points. Can you imagine that? He went up 61 points. And that's really that's quite a raise. It went up in one night. And he's I think that primary is over. I think he's focused now on the Democrat. And the Democrat's a radical left lunatic and doesn't represent what Michigan stands for, I can tell you. Doesn't represent the auto workers. Wants to do the all-electric cars all over the place that are all going to be made in China. And very bad. So I think that Mike Rogers is going to have tremendous success against her. Former Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette, and thank you, Bill, very much. Thank you. And many other distinguished guests. We got a lot of people here, some ex-congressmen, some congressmen. I'm not going to go into it because we want to get down to business. We want to just get our country going again. We want to get the border closed, and we want to have people come into our country, but come in legally, right? Legally. Moments ago, I met with an incredible group of local law enforcement leaders to discuss how Michigan communities are being ravaged by a new form of crime, and that's the migrant crime that we name it. It should be called Biden migrant crime, but that's too long. But you'll always remember it was Biden that gave it to us. 11 days ago, right here in Kent County, a 25-year-old Michigan woman named Ruby Garcia, who's become a very well-known name, beautiful young woman, was savagely murdered by an illegal alien criminal. Under the Trump administration, this monster had been deported, thrown out of the country, wasn't going to be able to come back, because you just have to look at the charts. It was very, very hard to get in. But he came back, and we threw him out of the country, and crooked Joe Biden took him back and let him back in and let him stay in, and he viciously killed Ruby. The illegal alien charged with Ruby's really heinous killing, and this is somebody that had many, many arrests, including for some very bad crimes that he committed. And he was set loose to roam our streets, and in this case, set loose to roam in Michigan by politicians that are left and weak and stupid. On March 22nd, he shot 17-year-old Ruby. Actually, she was a beautiful, beautiful young woman.